Blog Talk Radio
presents the Flow's Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we've got a great guest. I can't wait to bring her on. Before we start, I just want to say I hope everybody has a happy Passover. Hope everybody's enjoying their... we were fooled. Mother Nature got us again, that bitch. I can't stand her. She fooled us again on the East Coast. It was gorgeous, and we're back to cold again, but... Tonight, I'm so excited. We've actually become friends, which I love. And she's a rock star journalist, entertainment extraordinaire in being a publicist, pardon me. And I can't wait to introduce you to her if you don't know who she is already. So Eileen Shapiro, welcome to the show. Hi, Eileen. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. It's about time, right?
Sounds fun. I love it.
Yeah. How was the holiday? How's it going?
It was interesting.
Yeah, to say the least,
right? I have 9 grandchildren, and they were all over, so yeah.
Oh, you had your hands full, that's for sure. Oh, my goodness. Well, at least
five,
we can be
500 Easter eggs later.
Oh, my God. Do you put money in them, too?
Every single one of them.
Oh, geez, I should have went to your house and went Easter egg hunting.
You should have.
Yeah, but I was going to say, what was I going to say? You live in a city. No, you live in the island, I think.
Long Island.
Long Island,
right,
yeah. So yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. tons of kids out on the island. Wow. Well, you know, Eileen, I did know that you wrote the book about Adam Ant, Waiting for Adam. I didn't know that you had written so many other books and that you were actually started in this industry as a award-winning author. My goodness. So writing was your goal tell us how you got started. I forget what I'm saying. You tell us.
Going to nursing school. I was going to college.
Really?
And I had this thing about Star Trek. Like, I had a crush on Leonard Nimoy or Mr. Spock. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah.
So what happened was I happened to go into the city, and I found the store, the Federation Trading Post. And the guy that owned it, I became friends with, and I started writing for his magazine, which was the giant Star Trek poster book. And then Valentine and Paramount approached us. And we wound up doing the Star Trek Medical Reference Manual, and it became a bestseller. And that's
yeah.
my thought.
Right. So. I mean, did you ever think, I mean, you know, a lot of girls like Star Trek, but, I mean, you were really, really into it to go that in depth with it. My goodness.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wasn't into the technical part of it, but I was into Leonard Nimoy, and I was into going. We went to the conventions, and we met them all, and it was fun.
Cool. Nice. And then how did you get involved in working with the other publications that you were writing for at the time?
So, well, you know, one thing just led to another. First it was Star Trek, then it was Star Wars and so on. But then I moved to Long Island. I got married a couple of times. And the last time my ex-husband, we moved out to Long Island. And I wound up somehow owning a gay bar.
And somehow, you wound up somehow owning a gay bar. How does that somehow happen? I mean, isn't that something
I'll
somebody plans
how,
out?
Well, true. But what happened was I was doing real estate, and the opportunity arose.
And
at the time, I lived with my gay soulmate, which I still live with my gay soulmate. And we purchased the bar, and a guy from Get Out magazine kept coming in and asking us to do ads, you know, to place ads. And it was a kind of a big bar, and we kind of had very cool guests. We had RuPaul's Drag Race people and Michelle Visage and really cool people, Amanda Lepore. One day, Mike Todd, the publisher, said, instead of putting an ad in, why don't you just write an article? I said, okay. And then I started writing an article a month, and then it became an article a week, and then it became three or four articles a week, and I still like to get out like 15 years later. So, yeah.
You never look back at nursing again.
Yeah, I did it for a couple of months. I worked for my gynecologist, the one that delivered my kids, and then I was, what am I doing here? You know, I don't even like it. So.
Right.
Nah, I never gave it really another thought.
Right. So then now you were writing for the magazines and other publications. So when did you say, I want to start interviewing celebrities? I mean, what brought that on? And then we'll get into how you became a publicist. I mean, obviously one goes into the other eventually.
Totally. So I was writing for Get Out, and I had interviewed celebrities before. You know, for Star Trek, I interviewed all of them.
Yeah.
But the first celebrity I had to interview was Sandra Bernhard. And
really?
That was for Get Out magazine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she scared me. I thought she hated me. And then
six months
later, she asked for another interview, and then another, and then another. And I wound up meeting her. We became friends, actually. But Get Out, a huge celebrities. I mean, I interviewed Diana Ross, Boy George, because everyone wants to be in that gay magazine. I don't care who you are, straight, gay, whatever. You want to be in that magazine, and you want the gay community as an audience. Believe me.
Is that magazine still out? Oh, okay.
Now it comes out every month. But it's still out. I still
Very
have a
cool.
deadline.
Are you still writing for them too?
I will never stop writing for Get Out magazine.
Lovely.
Ever.
Nice. Nice.
Because they gave me my start, you know, plus, you know, the whole nightlife community in Manhattan, I mean, they will like look forward to it. So I will never stop writing for Get Out. But and like I said, most of the celebrities that I get are because of Get Out. And they're pretty huge, some of them. I mean, we did, who else did we do? Emma Stone. So many.
Right. So when, I know you, Adam Ant was like your personal crush or music, you were a big fan of his. And so you obviously were doing interviews with all these other folks, and that was the one that you just had to have.
I had a bucket list, and my bucket list was very simple. It was Rick Springfield, Billy Idol, and Adam Ant. Now, Rick Springfield wanted to be in Get Out magazine, so he was easy. I interviewed him a couple of times.
Mm.
He was very willing and, you know, very cool about it. And Adam Ant was a different story. He was in England, didn't really know about Get Out magazine, but I had a huge crush on him since, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
And I figured the bigger the people that I interviewed, the more people I interviewed that had, you know, some kind of A-list credibility, the easier it would be to get to interview him. So
right.
6 years later, I finally got to interview him. But the thing was, I actually met him and knew him and was friends with him before I got to interview him. So it was kind of cool. And I actually did a review for him in Get Out magazine that he used for one of his album, you know, one of his CD covers.
Very nice. Very nice.
But I didn't know. He never told me. One of my friends said, oh, he used your review. I'm like, no way. And he did. And
cool.
So my book, Waiting for Adam, was all about me interviewing all these other famous people to get to Adam.
Right.
Now, Billy Idol, I still have not interviewed. I've met him a million times, but I have not interviewed him. So if anyone listening to this radio station has a connection, please call in anyway.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, you said you were friends with Adam, but you never interviewed him till later. So why didn't you approach him sooner? And now the same thing with Billy Idol. You know him. Why won't you approach him for an interview?
I have approached Billy, but everything goes through PR agents, which is one of the reasons
right.
I became a PR agent. Because a lot of these publicists are like, they're like anti-publicists. I mean, anyone that wants to interview my clients, I'm there. I don't
right.
care who they are. They're getting an interview. But, you know,
right. Well, hey, you're doing your job, right? I mean, that's what a publicist
exactly.
is for, right? I mean, you're trying
exactly.
to get them as much coverage as possible, so you send them out. I mean,
exactly.
they don't have a problem with it either. That's what they want to do. So now in the book, now when you finally did the interview, stupid question. I was going to say, was it worth the wait? That's pretty stupid. Of course it was. Of course
well,
it was.
Well, let me tell you. No, it's not really a stupid question, because a lot of times you interview celebrities that you think or that you want to be a certain way and they're not. But Adam was. Adam was everything I thought and wanted him to be. He was great. Still, to this day, probably one of the best interviews ever. And I knew he was a good interview. Everyone said that. But he didn't really like the press that much. You know, they gave him a bad rep in the 80s. And you know, he was very doubtful of the press, but his PR agent, I knew, we became friends, and eventually she did get me that interview, and,
nice.
You know, it was a crazy interview. I was told that I had a half hour, which is a long
okay.
time for an interview when you're, you know, right. So I figured, all right, a half hour, that's pretty good, but I was told if he doesn't like your questions, he's going to cut you off.
Right.
But if he does like your questions, he's going to not cut you off and keep you on. So an hour and a half later, we were still on the phone, and I was like, oh, my God, I have no more questions. So I had to kind of cut, you know, like apologize, like, oh, my God, thank you for your time, but I don't want to take up any more of your time. But it was great. He loved the interview, and I do something a lot of people don't do. When I interview someone, I give them their interview to read before it gets published. Because when you're interviewing, you know, sometimes they say things on the spot that they don't really mean or that they want to change. So I give them that opportunity as a journalist.
Right. What happens to me, which I don't like, but I have no control over, when I write my articles or my pieces, is they get edited and I don't like it, but what am I going to do? You know, I'm not the editor. I don't own the paper, you know, but that I don't like. And sometimes if it's edited to a degree that is not in a good light, I will share my original piece with people.
Right.
Because I'm like, that's not what I said, you know?
Well, I'm pretty lucky because most of the magazines I write for, we have our own portal and they don't edit anymore for us. So the only person that edits my stuff is Jimmy, and just the spelling and grammar. But
I'm actually looking for other outlets myself. I mean, plus to still write for the one I'm with, but I just want to get it out there more than this, you know, the little local paper over here on the East Coast, you know. So,
no,
but
we can always.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I didn't hear you.
I said talk to Jimmy because we can always use the content for our magazines and the people who own them. So.
Well, we're going to get to Jimmy. That's next, because I wanted to ask you now. So you've met all these people. You're interviewing them. What made you say, I'm going to be in PR now? I want to represent these folks. And how did you hook up with Jimmy?
Well, very simply, I was on his show because I had written Waiting for Adam. And he put – well, actually, it was the book before that. It was Precious Little Devils. I had written that book, and Adam Ant's publicist got me on Jimmy's show. She was not my publicist, but she was a friend. We traveled together to England and France and all of that stuff. So she got me on Jimmy's show. We became instant friends. Then one day we were talking and we found out that a lot of the people that went on his show and a lot of the people I interviewed, were their publicist was charging them for that extra.
Wow.
And we were like, what, are we crazy? You know, we need to eat too. So we said, you know what, we have more connections than anybody. And we did, both of us together from the show and from, you know, my being a journalist. And we said, let's see what happens. Let's just try it. Within a month, we had 10 clients, and we had, like, pretty reputable clients. We had Scott Page from Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
We had Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction. And we had, like, pretty – Karen White we had. We had pretty – and CeCe Peniston. We had pretty big clients within a month. And
yeah.
And it's – so, you know, we love what we do. And,
right.
and we do more of it, you know, than most publicists do and the most journalists do. And we, you know, we like it. We love it.
Right. Yeah, me too. I enjoy doing this so much. I really do. It was just a fluke how it happened too. It really was. So, and like I wanted to say to you, kind of it was a fluke for you. I mean, did you ever anticipate that you were going to be a journalist? I mean, you know what I mean?
No. Mm-mm, never. It was never.
Me too.
Never in my dreams or, you know, ambitions or anything. It just happened.
Right. Right. It just happened.
You know,
well, you know what?
Quiet.
Yeah.
But
I cut you
I'm
off again. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Or did I cut you off maybe?
I don't know. We were both talking at the same time, I think. I didn't hear what you said. But,
let's turn the tides. How did you become a journalist?
Oh, God. I don't know. I just started writing for this little paper where I grew up, and I love doing it. I love covering events and writing about them, and I love writing about the guests that are on the show, and they're kind enough to let me, you know, publish it in their paper, but, you know, I don't know if it's the right audience, you know what I'm saying, because it's a small paper. You know, I need to get
branch
a
out,
different.
Joanne. Just
yeah, I don't know where to go. That's the thing. It's not something that I anticipated that I would be doing in my life either. I mean, I'm, you know, I started my career as a musician. So, and when I lost my singing voice, I kind of, you know, it was a major depression. After that, it was like being blind and losing your vision. I mean, going blind,
right.
You know, somebody going blind, if you're a singer, losing your voice, you know, it's devastating. So it took me a while to get over that. And I finally accepted it. And then I kind of went crippled from a car accident the last couple of years. So I can't even perform if I wanted to. You know, I actually was thinking about getting back into doing my music again. And it's like, I don't know. I'm actually afraid to hear myself sing, to be quite honest. And I know I can't dance like I used to. I used to be, I used to love to dance. Oh, my God. I was a great dancer. Great dancer. And, yeah. And then I said, you know what? If I can't do that, I got to stay in the entertainment industry somehow. And I just said one day I was at a friend of mine's a mom's funeral, and every time I would see the locals that I grew up with, they, oh, you're still singing? And, you know, it's like, no, it was always depressing not to say no, you know, I can't anymore.
Right.
You know, how many people approach you and say, oh, you're still singing? What's going on? And I said, no, I'm actually thinking about doing a radio show where I'm going to interview celebrity guests. And about a month later, I was up and running, and I've had some amazing guests on here, such as yourself, and met some fabulous people and am friends with them. And I never thought I'd be friends with these celebrities. And mm-hmm. it's really a dream come true. I mean, I'm speaking to people that I looked up to when I was growing up, and, you know, it's just been a thrill for me. And I literally do it for the fun factor. And I'm enjoying it, and you know, it's just been a blast. It's been a blast, and I'm loving it. And I would have never met you had I not done this, right? So, you know,
that's right.
So now you.
Never...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said we would never have met if not for what
no.
we both do.
Never, because I'm actually in the financial industry door by day, and then I go into the phone booth and change into my. You know, I'm Joanne. I'm Joanne by day and JoJo at night. So, you
there
know,
you
and Yeah, you know, sometimes I'd go to work. I'd say, oh, JoJo's here today. Watch out.
And, that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I've got like these dual personalities, I guess. I'm the professional girl by day, and then at night I'm myself. But, you know, thankfully I'm in a job now where I can be myself. So it's really cool. So, but I have a great boss, thank God. And so now you and Jimmy, you guys meet and you guys open up the world to your publishing firm, not published, I keep saying publishing firm, your public relations firm, pardon me, and it's World Star PR. And mm-hmm. anybody out there, if somebody's looking for PR representation, what can they do in regard to you and Jimmy? Can they reach out to you guys? Or
they can reach out to us on Facebook, or they can email us. My email is rockstarjournalist33@gmail.com. But you can reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, any way you want, almost any way you want. Call the radio station. Joanne will give you my number. Whatever. Mm.
Right.
But
well,
we don't advertise. We don't advertise. We're only word of mouth. And we, you know, we love what we do. You know how you know you've made it? I'll tell you how, okay?
Mm.
On the phone with Fred Schneider from the B-52s, okay? While Scott Page from Pink Floyd is texting you, and at the same time you're getting an interrupted phone call from Leon Robinson, the actor, okay? And mm-hmm. everyone that calls you that whole day is a celebrity. That's how you know that you've made it in the business.
Yeah. Yeah, that I guess I got it. I kind of got that too. I kind of got that kind of going. Not as severe as you do, but I have that going on too. Where I'm speaking to people, you know, and it's just crazy. It's crazy, and it's quite an experience. I have to say. That's I say at my funeral. Please don't cry for me. I did not have a horrible life. I did not. I'm quite happy with the life I had. There's no reason to cry.
I wake up every day and I'm thrilled that I have the whole day ahead of me to do whatever. Well, I never sleep anyway, but I mean, I have my clients texting me and calling me all hours of the night. I have Randy Edelman texting me at 3 a.m. telling me he's still awake. Okay, that's nice.
Oh, tell us about the show. I'm sorry I missed it. Tell us about the show, Randy's show.
Randy was amazing, and he brought his wife. His wife is Jackie DeShannon.
Oh, that's right.
And for those who don't know her, she did Put a Little Love in Your Heart. And
yeah.
She won a Grammy. She didn't do the song, but she won a Grammy for Betty Davis Eyes. So anyway, she came. And she, you know, Randy's a good friend more than a client. And, and you know, we became friends as well. So we had a blast. I mean, we went there and Randy performed, and he was so good. He was so great. And matter of fact, he is going to be at the Green Room, Green Room 42 on May 21st. And then it's City Winery August 28th. So,
oh, maybe I can make if I'm still invited, maybe I can make
totally
the one on.
Invited.
Oh,
totally
please.
Invited.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I got that one. I got it. I'm so upset. I didn't know Jackie showed up. I would have loved to have been there for that.
You have to experience it at least once, because, I mean, people keep coming back. The room keeps filling up. So,
nice.
I mean, people absolutely love him. And he's great. He's, you know, he's probably one of my best. He became one of my best friends, even though it's when I first went to interview him, it was a favor for somebody. And the guy said, do me a favor, just interview Randy Edelman. I didn't even know who he was. And
right.
I called him up and he said, do you know who I am? I said, no. He goes, well, do you know anything about me? I said, no.
No.
He said, well, then you can't interview me. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Nobody knows who you are. So I guess nobody's ever going to interview you. Have a nice day. After that, we became best friends. He called me back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he called me back. He said, all right, call me Monday.
Well, we actually had a great conversation. He was on with me for a while there, too. And I get a kick out of my guests sometimes. Oh, they can only give you 20 minutes. And then an hour and a half later, we're still talking, you know. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yep.
But, yeah, speaking of Jimmy, we're going to get Jimmy on in May. I'm going to actually,
yep.
We have one more week of this show, I guess, of April. I keep confusing the months. I don't know what is wrong. I have a dyslexia thing with March and May. I don't know why. And you're going to think this is crazy, Eileen. Elevator and umbrella.
You know what? I don't think that's that uncommon, actually.
But that's the only two things, March and May and umbrella and elevator.
All right. I'll forgive you for that.
No, but other than that, I don't understand it. It's been my whole entire life. And the whole month of May, I will say March. I will say March. And then I'll say, oh, catch the umbrella. Hurry up. Catch the umbrella. My entire life, I don't know why. It's so weird. But, yeah, so tell us about Jimmy Starr, because Jimmy is going to be joining us in May, not March, in May. So tell us more about Jimmy before we let everybody know.
Well, Jimmy is great. He's a lot smarter than me. He's a lot more technical, but I am a lot more fun. And you can remember that and tell him I said that.
No.
But, you know, he's very upbeat. We're very much alike. We always tell everyone we're the same person, and we kind of are. And we've been, you know, together for about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. We've never had a disagreement, not even a little disagreement. You know, we're both kind of laid back, and we're both kind of like, you know, we ask each other, you know, our opinions or permission or whatever. And you know, it's just a great relationship, and he's a great publicist. And he does all of the press releases because he says I write too flowery like a girl. So he does all of the stuff that's real news. And,
yeah.
You know, and he has his own show. It's a huge show, and just reached a billion streams.
Wow.
And and him and his husband do their show, and you know, I can't say enough nice things about Jimmy. You know, he's my best friend, kind of, sort of, aside from Colin and Randy. But you know, he's definitely your bestie, and he's a lot of fun.
I can't wait to have him on the show. I can't wait to. I mean, we've spoken a few times, not quite often because of the time difference. And, you know, as we said, he cuts out early. So, you know, it's hard to catch him.
He has an 81-year-old husband.
God bless them both, right?
Oh, no. The guy's hot. I mean, hot. For 81, you'd be like, oh, my God. Like, if he wasn't gay, I would do him easy. But wait, am I allowed to say that on your show? Yeah, right?
Yeah, you say whatever the fuck you want.
So anyway, I would definitely do him.
Oh,
but,
boy.
He doesn't let Jimmy talk after a certain amount of time at night. And the weekends, he likes to hang out with Jimmy because, you know, Jimmy works. He's up every day at you know, our 11 o'clock, which is his 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And he works late. So, you know, both of us do. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what people don't get. That's what people don't get about this. It is constantly moving. You are constantly busy, which is good. You know, it is a good thing.
Constantly,
You know what, Eileen? I got to say, I think that doing this show kind of saved my life because I really was in a major depression with, you know, losing, like I said, my voice and the ability to perform again. And just walking sucks. I mean, you know, I'm just in pain 24/7 and I was giving up. I really was. I was just miserable. I was a miserable person. I wasn't happy, and I've found my happy, and I'm so happy I did because I'm having a blast, and it gives me something to look forward to every day. And like I said, I get to speak to a lot of great people and meet a lot of wonderful people and become friends with them. And it's really changed my life to a degree of happiness. And I'm so happy that I got involved in it and I'm doing it. So, you know, I really am.
Yep, I got you. I totally got you. There's nothing I would rather. Nothing.
Right, right. Now, any more books coming down the pike or no?
I'm doing a book called Waiting for Billy.
Oh.
And the book is actually done. You know, all the people I interviewed on the way to meeting Billy Idol, and there are some huge ones there. I mean, huge.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I keep interviewing. I keep meeting more and more people. We did a red carpet recently, and I interviewed Akon, and that to me was like a big deal. It was Akon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. All the guests
yeah.
I have are a big deal. Even if I don't know them or never heard of them, they're all a big deal to me.
I agree. You know what I did today? I went into the city with my client, Mickey Burns, who does a huge show in the tri-state area. He's been doing it for 20 years, and he's interviewed some of the hugest people on the planet. And so I went in there, and I hung out with a disco queen, Carol Douglas, who
asked
a phone number and said, could you call me tonight? Let's become friends. And I thought that was so cool, you know?
Nice, nice. Well, we got to get together. We've got to get together.
To say
we are a stone's throw away, the two of us.
We are.
Why?
We are.
Why we haven't done this sooner?
Come to the
yes.
show. I'll buy you dinner.
Oh no, you don't have to do that.
No, I will. As a matter of fact, I'll make Randy do it, and we'll go out after.
Well, if Randy's buying, then okay. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. No, you know, Randy's very generous. He's very cool. What he does is before the show, he gives me his credit card, and he said, whoever you think deserves dinner, just buy it for them. And I'm like, okay. So,
aww,
and
what
he
a sweetheart.
Would actually take dinner, but, you know, I don't want to take advantage, but you never know. The list becomes bigger and bigger as the shows go on. So,
yeah.
But really, you should come. As many people as listening, just come. It's going to be a great show.
Let me look at the calendar, the 21st. Ooh, that's a Saturday.
Yeah.
That sounds perfect. That sounds perfect. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Saturday, 9
Excellent.
O'clock. And it's right across the river from you guys.
Yeah.
Right,
the green room, you said, right?
The green room on 10th Avenue. Yep.
Right. And for you guys who don't know, Randy has written, my God, just about for every movie and TV show out there. He also wrote Mandy for Barry Manilow. Oh, my God, what else has he written? He's written so much.
He'll tell me if he has that. He wrote Weekend in New England.
Yes, that's it. I'm sorry. He's going to kill me for saying it. Yeah, but that's one of my favorites, though, Barry Manilow's. I love that one.
Well, he always does that song, so.
Yeah, I love that one. So when is Waiting for Billy coming out?
As soon as I interview Billy Idol, and it better be soon. And change it to Waiting for Alice as an Alice Cooper, because he's an easy interview, so who knows?
I just saw Alice. Oh, God, I think I told you I was going to see Alice.
Yeah. Did you love him? Yes.
Oh, yes. What a show. Listen, hon, I'm telling you, I've never, not that I'm not an Alice Cooper fan, but I just would never think I would go see Alice Cooper. I mean, I like his stuff. Don't get me wrong. I just was never like, I don't own any Alice Cooper music. I don't. I mean, which is odd. I usually have something of everybody's. I mean, I still have all my albums and 45s from years and years ago. And I just never saw myself going to an Alice Cooper concert. And I was so happy I got to cover it. And what a show. He sounds pristine, his vocals.
Yep.
The band was phenomenal. What a great show. I was mesmerized. It was an experience. It was a total experience.
I went to see Alice when he first started. And there were hardly any people there. And he used to do a thing called the Ballad of the White Fry. And it used to be about somebody in a mental institution. And he used to wear a straitjacket. And then he used to throw it into the audience after. And I have it. I have one with his hair. I was always a big Alice. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I'm a very nice person as well. A really nice person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so glad that... Shelley's his wife, right, Shelley?
I'm not sure who his wife is, to be honest, but
Well, his wife is his dancer for the last God knows how many years. Thank God she found him and saved him, because I don't think we'd have Alice if it wasn't for her.
That's definitely true, but I don't know her name.
Shelly. I can't remember. I think it's Shelly. If it's not Shelly, it's something with an S, I think. I could be wrong. I mean, it was a couple weeks ago. I don't remember, but I got some great footage. Oh, my God. Great. I mean, like I said, the music was phenomenal, and his voice was just so on it, and I was surprised. I mean, he's no spring chicken anymore, so, and, you know, thank God he's not drinking anymore, because, you know, the alcohol and the drugs, you know, it takes away from the vocals. So,
yeah.
And his voice was pristine. It was just great. I still can't believe my friend that I took with me. He's like, did you like it? I said, what do you think? I said, I didn't stop watching. I was like, I couldn't take my eyes off the stage.
He puts on a great show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the band. Oh, he had a female guitar player. Oh, she was kick-ass. Oh, my God.
If you ever get a chance to see Adam Ant, make sure you do.
I love Adam Ant. No, I don't know. Is he playing out anywhere? Or?
He's doing a tour in England right now. Mm. That, by the way, I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go, and he's performing May 19th, and I actually had tickets. But now Randy's coming in, and he has a television show that day. So Adam's just going to have to wait. But he tours often.
Adam's going to be in the United States that day?
No, in England.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, I gotcha. So if Randy wasn't here, you'd jump to England. I gotcha.
I was actually going to go overnight. I've done that before with Adam. I get off the plane, I go see his concert, and then I get right back on the plane.
Oh, my God. Oh, Eileen, you sound like you're 16, which is beautiful. Right?
Oh, my God, I love it.
Right. That's the one thing I got. If I didn't have this body, I have a 16-year-old, the heart and mind, but this body is killing me. That's the problem. But, hey, I push, man. I push. I do the best I can. You know, that's why I had to take a break, because I was covering too much. And, you know, when I go, they do accommodate me, you know, but it's just like, oh, it's just so much between doing the show, the full-time gig, and then trying to cover events and then writing about them. It was just, it's like everything came back at once, too. So I was
right.
Like covering like 2-3 shows a week. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't do this. I just can't. I tried, I did, but, you know, so I have to slow that down. I definitely have to slow that down, because it's, I just can't do it. I'm so much has changed. My life has changed dramatically, and I'm making the best of it, put it that way, you know?
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah, I'm making the best of what I was given here, because I didn't ask for this, that's for sure. You know, some bitch hit me out of nowhere, and I didn't ask for this, but I'm doing the best I can with what I have left, I should say, with my body.
Hey,
so.
Have fun, right?
I'm trying like hell, man. I'm trying like hell. So, guys, go. The book, it's Waiting for Adam, and it's her journey. It's Eileen's journey interviewing everybody under the sun except for Adam, and then finally getting Adam the interview. And so in the book, you'll have interviews with, I guess, Diana Ross and Annie Lennox and all the other folks that you've met along the way.
Boy George, Annie Lennox was a great interview too.
Melissa
Etheridge.
Oh, I love her.
Interviewed her the other day, actually.
Oh, wow.
Rick Springfield. Oh God, there's so many of them. There's so many. Fred from B-52s. He actually became a good friend. And Sandra Bernhardt. She became a good friend.
Yeah.
And I mean. And the way that some of these interviews came about, you know, was very out of the ordinary and very cool. So, you know, a lot of them were by accident. Boy George was by accident.
Wow. Well, Fred's been on the show. Fred's been on the show, and I actually I hung out with him at a concert not too long ago, and what a nice guy. He actually just gave me two autographed CDs. I just got them about a week ago, and that was really sweet. Yeah, that was really sweet. Yeah, so I'm sorry?
He lives near me, actually, in Long Island.
Yeah, he's out on the island, yeah.
The last time he was at my house, Jimmy was doing a Christmas show, and so was Soho Johnny doing a Christmas show. So I made him come to my house, and we were drinking wine, and he had a little too much wine, and he wound up falling down my stairs in the snow.
Oh, my God. He was fun.
I love Fred.
Yeah, we had a great time. I told him, I said, but you know, he came on around Christmas, I think. I think it was around Christmas time, and we played Fruitcake, and there was another song. I don't remember the other one, but they a lot of them were like food themed. And I said, why don't you do a CD on how to on recipes, a singing recipe, you know? So. Anyway, well, I would love for Waiting for Billy to come out. I hope you get that opportunity very, very soon. I really do. Do you know his publicist is? Because I know who his publicist is.
I don't know who it is at the moment. I know who it was.
Let me see. I can find that for you if it's the same person. I don't know. And let you know. Look, I'm ruffling through papers. Because I was going to reach out to him, but I figured since he was England, he wouldn't give me the time of day. You know. And although I
lived in L.A.
No, the publicist was out in the UK, I think.
Barry. I know the English one. And he actually is nicer than the American one. He's very nice.
I got to find this. I'm going to look for it, and I'll get it to you. Maybe I wonder if it's the same person that – hold on. Is this the list? Hang on. Let me see. Here's the list. Shoot. I'm sorry. I'm ruffling all – if you've ever seen my studio, you'd die. I got paper all over the place. Hold on. I got – well, I have one list here, but Billy's not on that one. I have a bunch of –
No worries. When you find, just send it to me.
Well, I want to see if you know to say if it's the person that you're dealing with.
I bet.
Where is it? Billy, is he on? Is he on this list? Billy.
Maybe we shouldn't announce it
here
on the radio.
No, I'll just say the first name: Sharon and Carla. It's two females.
Oh, I know Barry.
Oh, I'll have to give these to you after we get off. I'll give these to you after we get off. Hopefully that'll get you one step closer to getting that book out. I'm not going to say it over the air.
You're going to read the
Well, if I can get you that Billy Idol interview for you, that'd be great. I owe you anyway for getting me all these great people you've been getting on my show and then having you on too and Jimmy, and then I'm going to ask you for some other folks for next month too, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I've been so booked at the April. Man, this week alone, I couldn't believe it. I'm booked every day this week, and it's crazy. And do you know Deuce Martinez?
I don't, no.
No, I thought you did because I know you were into, you met a lot of the guys at Yo MTV Raps, and he's from, you know, the dance days back in the 90s.
Yeah,
and
probably the 30th anniversary of Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah, he was probably there.
He might have been. I was with Dr. Dre hanging out. And
cool.
And Flav, who I love.
Flav. Yeah.
Love him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's crazy.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, but after we get off, I'll definitely I'll call you up. I'll call you back, and I'm going to give you these. Like I said, one is Sharon and one is Carla, and we'll leave it at that. I won't go into any more detail. So now, where can everybody get the book, Adam? The Adam book.
Oh,
Waiting for Adam.
Amazon, and almost anyway, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it Barnes and Noble, pretty much anywhere.
Nice.
But I think Amazon is the easiest. Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, and if you want to check out this book, it's called Waiting for Adam. Great interviews with many, many major A-list celebrities leading up to the infamous interview with Adam Ant. And if you don't drink, you don't smoke.
And the back-end
stories, too. Oh, yeah, what's the back end? Go ahead.
The backstage stories too. They're actually better than the interviews. So.
Oh really? Really?
Mm. Oh yeah. Mhm.
Did you do Woodstock?
No. No.
Mm. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you wrote the Star Trek book? I'm curious.
I was 16.
16 when you did the Star Trek book?
Oh.
Oh my.
After it might have been 17 when it was actually published and distributed, but yeah, 16. I just started college, nursing school. Well,
my problem is I have no time. Where do you find time, Eileen?
I told you, I never sleep, so I have.
I gotta sleep eventually.
Yeah, I guess eventually, but you know what? You just make the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I have 9 grandchildren who are always around. I don't know.
They
really
keep you going. How old are the grandkids?
Well, Casey is 6. Kyle is 10. Serafina is 10. There's a lot of them the same age. All right.
Mm.
I have 3. And let me see. Gabe and Kai are 13. Caleb's 14.
Oh, my.
Yeah, this is, I forgot Lila Grace. Lila Grace is 12.
And what do they think? They think grandma's cool or what? Do they think grandma's cool?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They don't even hang with their parents.
No, but I mean, yeah, do they know all the people that you hang out with and, like, they think that's cool or?
They do, and they do think it's cool. And I have 13-year-old Gabe. I have him doing interviews on StreamYard with all these famous people. He did Randy, he did Molly Mall. I mean, he did some really huge people. Joey Belladonna from Anthrax. He's done some, when he gets like, I don't know, 10,000-20,000 views at a time.
Well, that's good. Hey, you get them started young, you know. Get them started young.
Yep.
You think I ever thought I'd be doing this? I'm just rebooting my career at the age of 57. Can you believe this?
There you go.
Well, you're never too old to rock and roll, as they say, right, I guess?
That's what I say. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, again, folks, check out the book. It's Waiting for Adam. It's on Amazon, anywhere online where you can get books, I'm guessing, and Barnes & Noble, too, and anywhere you can. And it sounds like a great book with all these great interviews leading up to the infamous Adam Ant interview, which I have to pick it up. I have to get me a copy. And hopefully we're going to get you to Billy Idol after we hang up tonight.
There you go.
Actually, the Carla one is in New York.
Which one?
The Carla person is in New York. The other one is in the UK. Sharon is in the UK and Carla is in New York. So I actually have a New York number for you.
Yay.
Hey, right. Hey, if I can make that happen for you, I'd be happy. I'd be happy for you.
I would owe you my life, so.
Oh, you owe me nothing. Please. All you got to do for me is be happy. That's it.
And I am.
Yep. You're already happy. You don't need to be happy for me doing something. You're already happy. But, well, Eileen, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to say to the folks out there other than...
Just thanks for having me, and it was a blast. And
yes.
I'll see you May 21st.
That is a definite. That is a definite. I don't care if they got to put me in a wheelchair. I'm coming.
All right.
All right. Well, everybody, Eileen Shapiro, World Star PR. We're going to have Jimmy Starr coming on in April, and we'll talk more about what World Star PR does too and what Jimmy does as well. And he's got his own show, and that's doing great too. And pick up Waiting for Adam, and let's look for Waiting for Billy.
All right. Thank you, Joanne.
All right,
so
honey,
much.
Buddy. Eileen, thank you. It was great hanging out with you tonight, and I'm so glad we finally did this because every time we talked, I really didn't want to delve into what you did and everything, because then we wouldn't have had anything to talk about tonight.
There you go. That's perfect.
You know? So I'm so glad we did that. And now kind of like broke the seal now where we can talk normally.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Oh, take care, honey. I'll call you when I'm done. I've got about 10-15 minutes left. I'll give you a call with those numbers, okay?
You got it. You
All
got
right,
it.
Honey. Have a good night. Thank you, everybody. Eileen Shapiro.
Bye.
Check out the
Bye,
new
everyone.
Book, Waiting
Thank
for Adam.
You,
bye-bye. Bye, honey.
Bye.
Take care. Eileen Shapiro. Bye-bye. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. Guys, anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. And it's a lot of fun. With the technology today and the opportunities that are out there, I never thought I'd be doing this. I never thought I would be doing this. And it saved my life. It really did. I was having a tough time. I've never really shared this with you guys. I mean, I was going through a major depression. I mean, after losing my voice to 9/11, after experience in 9/11 was a major fuck up in my life that way, and then getting sick afterwards, and then losing my voice afterwards, and you know, losing my singing voice. And the only thing that really makes me happy in life other than my family is singing, and I love music, and it makes me happy. It takes away anything I'm going through, and I can't do that anymore. So I was going to attempt to do something with the voice I have now, which is a lot different from where I used to sound like. And, but then I couldn't move anymore. So, you know, how can you perform if you can't dance? So, I mean, if you can't let that music flow through your body and feel it as it's going. So that put me back again. So it took me, when did I finally say, this is it, I accept it, what am I going to do? I'd say it was maybe about 6 months ago after the two spine surgeries I had. After the surgeries, about 6 months ago, I said, well, this is my life. What am I going to do? I can't do what I used to do. I have to limit myself majorly. I can't even go to work, okay? And thankfully, I'm able to work remotely, which has been a blessing. And the pandemic, I know a lot of people had a hard time with it, but for me, it was the best thing that could have happened to me because I was healing during that time. I had my surgeries right before the pandemic. So, and the one surgery where they put the rods in my spine, that was a bitch. So I had a really rough time with that healing process. And, I do what I got to do. It's not me. It's not the real me, but it's the person I am now. So it's the way I have to live my life. So what can I do? Eileen's always a pleasure to speak with. And again, every time we speak, I really didn't want to go into detail about what she did. I knew she was public relations because she's actually sent me some great guests. I mean, Randy Edelman's been on the show and Scott Page, and they're all Eileen's folks. So, anyway, and now we've got Jimmy coming up, and there's a few others that I'm going to reach out to her for April. And every time we talk, I really didn't want to get into detail what she really, really, really did, and because then I'd have nothing to talk about on the show. I want to experience Eileen as you are for the first time as well, like you're just meeting her. So not that it's the first time we're meeting, but it was the first time we really went into the conversation. So, we were supposed to get together last month, and I'm so mad. I would have loved to have seen Jackie DeShannon too, along with Randy. My son had we had to go, my son had a rugby tournament, and I had to be there for that. So that was an experience. Believe me, I'd much rather listen to music than be outside in the cold and have to sit in a car on and have to use a warming seat to to feel good because it was so hot. I mean, so cold, and the seat was so warm. Thank God it felt good on my back. I needed it. But, yeah, so tomorrow, as I said, this week is booked. And it's kind of happened last minute because we had Michael Whalen on the 14th, and we had a bad storm that night. And I don't know what happened. We got disconnected, and we didn't even get to talk about his album, really, his new album, which is Imaginary Trains. And I think I played one song for him, but he wasn't even on the air. He had to run. So I'm going to have him back tomorrow on the 19th. And if you want to call in, you can win two tickets to his concert that he's doing, an online streaming concert. You can win two tickets or a CD, whichever you prefer, or both. I don't know. Michael's a generous guy. You never know. And when he was on the 14th, I had a really bad day. And the music just turned me upside down. It definitely, sorry, something on my keyboard. The music was definitely something I needed. It was soothing. It calmed me down. It was great. So I'm going to play a couple of songs and give away tickets to his online streaming concert and a CD. So join us on the 19th, tomorrow, Tuesday at 9 p.m. for that. Mr. Michael Whalen is coming back. Then, excuse me, my friend John, sent us over Rick Ventura from Riot Act. He's a guitarist, and we're going to play some new music from their new album. So if you want to hear some kick-ass rock, join us then. And then Kimberly Allen, she is a staff writer at WeTV. And she is on the new series, writing for a new series. We're going to talk to her. And I'm excited about this one. I'm excited about all you guys. I love having you guys on the show. I love hanging out with you. I love talking with you and getting to know you folks. Mr. Wesley Yor from one of my favorite shows on a Saturday morning, Land of the Lost. Wes played Will Marshall. Marshall, Will, and Holly. And so I'm excited to have Wesley on, and he is really a sweetheart. So I can't wait to introduce you to him. If you've never seen an interview or spoken to him or seen him speak in interviews, really nice guy. And I thought I was busy on the 24th, but I have it X'd out. I don't know why. I never know why I have these X'd out, but anyway, Deuce Martinez will be joining us on the 27th. He's a DJ, promoter, and he put together that 90s dance party over at NJ Pack last month. Was it last month or February? Anyway, Deuce is a really nice guy too, and we're going to talk about what he's up to, and you can find out more about that and probably some events or concerts he's throwing we could find out about. And Mr. Mike Skill on the 29th will be with us. Mike is the guitarist from The Romantics. He's been on before. He's got a new song out. And by the way, he also, on the 21st of April, this Thursday, if you are in New York, let me get this here. Let me get this flyer so I can tell you guys who is going to be at this event. I'm not going, but if you guys want to go, hold on, let me get this thing here. Here you go. They are having a birthday bash for Walter Lohr from the Waldos. That's Thursday, April 21st at 7:30 at the Bowery Electric, 327 Bowery, the East Village. Let's see who's going to be there. Barry Affle, Matt Langone, J.F. Virgil. Oh, shoot, I just got it small. Here we go. Jeff West, Joe Rizzo, Takanori, Easy, Kuchikuji, Takto Nakai, Shige Matsumoto, Mike Skill from the Romantics, Ricky Ratt from the Trash Brats, Brad Elvis from the Romantics, Barry April, and Steve Krebs and the Maynard G's, Curtis Suburban, special guests Andy Chernoff from the Dictators, Barry Ryan, the Rockettes, Chuck Bones, the Trash Bags, Cynthia Ross, the B-Girls, Danny Ray, the Senders, Laura Palmer, Screaming Rebel Angels, Lynn Von Pang, the Carvels, New York City, Mick Stitch, the Threads, New York, I don't know, that's NYC, Sam Harris, the Sweet Things. So that's going to be a great night. If you like some rock, oh, man, you're going to love this. So that's Thursday, April 21st, 7:30 p.m. at the Bowery Electric, 327 Bowery in the East Village. Go check it out, and you'll have a great time. I'm disappointed I can't go. It's a little too much for me, so I have to turn that down. So I actually have a show to myself, so I can't. I couldn't get out of. But what else did I want to say? Oh, and River and Henley. One of our sponsors is having their grand opening on Friday, April 29th, and they are in New Milford, New Jersey. Great place if you guys want to go check that out. I asked for more information so I could get it over to you guys, but for now, that's the last I heard. April 29th is the grand opening. Go check it out. And if you're not busy and have a moment, please, please, I'm begging you, to do me a favor, to do entertainment a favor, to do Judy Tenuta, the comedian Judy Tenuta, a favor. We have a petition out to help Judy get her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's available on her website, judytenuta.com. It's available on our website, applauseradioshow.com. And also, I've been sharing it on Facebook and other social. And please, please sign it. It's her dream to get a Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame. And she's been having a little tough go the last year and a half or so. She's been kicking cancer's ass. She's doing great. And it's one of her dreams. And, you know, she'd like to make that come true. And after what she's been through, I don't see why not. She is more than deserving. She's done movies, she's done TV, she's done radio, she's done albums. She fits all the criteria, and she's been doing it for a long time. So please, if you can, I would appreciate it, and I know she would for sure. Please, please, go sign the petition. It's free. It doesn't cost you a dime. You can even sign it anonymous if you don't want to put anonymous. Not umbrella, not elevator. Anonymous. Anyway, thank you again, Eileen Shapiro. Always great talking to her, and going to have a good time in May. I'm looking forward to actually hanging out with her. So, yeah, I was disappointed that I didn't get to go last time. But like I said, with the body, too, I have to limit myself where I can go, because I can't go far. And when I do, I die. So it's I really, 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 really have to push to get there. So I don't know. What do I want to close with tonight? We got a long week. I got I don't know. Something good. That's something good. Upbeat, upbeat, upbeat. Let's see. I don't know. I never know what to play you guys. Oh, we were speaking about Fred. Here, let's close out with Fred. Fred Schneider, check it out. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I can't. I don't know if I could share this. I don't know if I could share it. I'm sorry. Pay attention to late night television, 11:30 on ABC. How about that? And without further ado, have a good night. We will see you tomorrow with Mr. Michael Whelan, Rock Lobster.